So another year. Last week we were just talking about, boy, this year is over. We're already looking into the next year. Now we are looking, we are in the new year. And with the new year, I think that brings, you know, just the opportunity to recalibrate and to refocus. I was listening to somebody, because I maybe some of you are really pessimistic on, you know, New Year's resolutions. Definitely used to be me. I love them now, and I think the reason I do is because of what I heard another guy, because this is kind of my experience too, what I heard another guy say. He says, because they were saying, you know, two-thirds of the people that make New Year's resolutions don't keep them by the end of January, so why even bother? And what he said I thought was really good. What he said was, that means a third did, right? I mean, like, that was pretty insightful. But not only that, he also adds to just the fact that at least the other two-thirds tried. Like, there's something valuable even in this sense that you are just evaluating your life and you're evaluating what your goals are, what you want in your life and what you don't want in your life. Like, what are some of the things you want to shed and some of the things you want to embrace into your life? And if you don't have that thought process or that at least thinking through process, then maybe you just kind of have given up on the process of trying to recalibrate or refocus. And this just provides an opportunity. You can do that in July, right? I mean, it's not like you can't do it next month. It's just that whenever we look into a new year, it almost like welcomes that into our lives. Like this opportunity just to pause for a moment and just, especially as Christians, God, what is it that I need to adjust and readjust or to walk away from? And so in that aspect, I don't want to pass up the opportunity to have that type of conversation with you, because I think it's really beneficial. And I think that we have to have that conversation because of just walking through Paul's missionary journeys, like we were just making the comment earlier that we went through Acts 17. Hopefully you went through Acts 17 and not Psalms, but 17 through 23. And as you're walking through Paul's missionary journeys, it just seems like there's so many things that stand out to us about what God wants us to be focused on. And so the point of, you know, like this title is Renewed Focus. And Paul's missionary journeys detailed there provide a powerful example of like how to focus and how to have purpose in your life. And I don't know about you, but going into a new year, I welcome anybody wanting to speak into my life about how to stay focused and how to have purpose in my life. That's what I want for my new year. That God, whether I get the whole year or not, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm counting my days, but I'm just saying that God willing, I get through a whole nother year. I want it to be a year full of purpose and focus upon the things that he wants. And so I welcome that in my life. And as we examine Paul's life this week individually, and as we examine as a church here, one of the things that we definitely saw in this man is that there was this unwavering commitment to God's mission for him. Like as he's going through there, he is somebody that is knows what he's waking up to, knows what he's going to do through this. There's like this rooted, he's rooted in some kind of deep understanding of what he's called to do. Like he's not waking up with a lack of purpose. He knows exactly what he's supposed to do. Doesn't know where sometimes. He doesn't know how he's going to get there sometimes, but he knows what he is called to be about. And then also you just see this dependence of the Holy Spirit that he has. Like, he is super dependent and reliant upon God's Spirit to give him strength, to give him guidance, to give him words, to give him just the ability to not give up. But he is so dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And so as I was walking through here, I just kept seeing all of these, like, key principles of how to stay focused. You know, as we're going into the new year, wanting to be focused and wanting to just have this purpose in our life. I just kept seeing some things that I think that if we could just mimic like what Paul does, I think we would find that this year, 2025, could be extraordinary just because of applying just these three things. And the first one that before I get to that, let me just say this. He was tested, wasn't he? Like, Paul was tested everywhere he went. We get to chapter 17. He's in Thessalonica. He's in Athens. And he is being tested just from the very beginning of just these mobs that are wanting to attack him. We get to chapter, just the next chapter in 18, and we see that, you know, he is just, has like this opposition in Corinth that he has to go through. And then by chapter 21, he's arrested in Jerusalem and put in jail there. And there's something about his steadfastness that I just think, if I'm going to pattern my life after somebody, it's not going to be just somebody that writes a book and doesn't prove what he's saying behind the book. Like, there has to be something behind it. And that's the thing I appreciate so much about Paul, is this is the person that I want to pattern, because he has the steadfastness that was proven by all that he had to go through. Like, everywhere he went, he had opposition and reasons to just walk away or to not, and he doesn't. And so there's somebody there. If I'm going to let somebody speak into my life, it's going to be somebody like this. And so, as we see here, you know, Paul, he doesn't let circumstances derail him. Rather, he just entrusts himself to God. And Acts chapter 20, verse 24, this is where we'll end today, by the way. But it's also where I want to kind of start, and that is, Paul declared, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that Jesus Christ has given me to do." And so I kind of think that the first principle that Paul has for us, if we would just put it into our 2025, that will make a huge difference, is something that we kind of concluded last week with, or last year with, and that is to focus on proclaiming the gospel. And in Acts chapter 17, we really see that at the beginning of our readings, Paul has this intensity about, I've got to proclaim the gospel where I go. And he is speaking into people's lives. And in 17, we see that he moves into Athens and he talks to people, you know, the Areopagus, you know, these religious philosophers of the day. And they had like stones and monuments put up for everything under the sun that could represent any kind of religious thought out there. They had this one that to the unknown God, and Paul sits down and he says, I want to talk to you about that God that you have, you know, labeled as unknown. And he begins to, for 3 days, he begins to just walk through in a philosophical way that Paul would be able to do, just about this God that they do not know. And what I found interesting in that is that he didn't walk into this and see all of these religious people and all of their garbage, for lack of a better word, that they've created, you know, just through their intellect and their, you know, philosophizing through whatever. He didn't go into that and just say, you know what, this is not a place for me, I'm not going to get anything accomplished, and just blow them off. And I began to just kind of thinking about that, and just that there's something there for us to learn as we go into the new year. And that is that we don't lack people in our lives or in our surrounding that lack Jesus. That are unbelievers or unsaved. They're everywhere. Like, we go to school and we find unbelievers. We go to Walmart, we find unbelievers. We go to work, we find unbelievers. We sometimes go home and we find unbelievers. And so it's not like we're lacking people to share the gospel with. The thing that we need to be challenged about when we go into this new year is that, what are we going to do with these people that we are around all the time that are unbelievers? You see, Paul, whenever he walked into a place, if there was an unbeliever, he saw it as an opportunity. And he wasn't going to walk away from it. He wasn't. And in fact, if you look at verse 16, I found it interesting. It says, of chapter 17, it says, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. And I thought, what does that mean that he was provoked? Like, he was angry? He was turned off? No, I think in fact, we have to go by what he did as his spirit was provoked. What did it cause him to do? It caused him to sit down with them and have conversations with them, and to care about these people and their relationship with God and their eternal destination. And so he reasoned with them. His his being provoked in his spirit caused him to act. And so I just want to like open this up for a second and just encourage you to allow your spirit to be affected by the people in your life that do not know Jesus. Like, make that your mission to have conversations with them. Look for opportunities to somehow squeeze Jesus into that conversation, whether it's through, you know, what you do for them or what you say to them. But make it, don't get the attitude like they're never going to listen to me and then walk away. Don't get the attitude like, well, you know, they're stupid and start being judgmental to them and walk away. We got to make sure that if we're going to have purpose and we're going to have focus going into 2025, that we learn something here from Paul, and that is that we got to be concerned about people's eternity. Now, there's something really, I think, something worth noting in the midst of that. Because this is one of the things that I see over and over and over. And that there is a tremendous, like, when we set out and we think, what is it that I want in my life or I need in my life? It's usually something that benefits us, right? I need to work out and so that I can get stronger and things like this. Or I need to study more so I can get smarter and things, and whatever it is. We're trying to figure out, what do I want in my next year to benefit me? But here's what I want you to know about that. When you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody, you will find that it will bring more integrity in your life, more godliness, more genuine relationship with Jesus, more genuine faith in your life than anything else that you could put in your life, just because you are focused on sharing the gospel. I want to read to you a couple of verses and then we'll move on. 1 Timothy 4:16, it says this: keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. I think the NIV says on your doctrine. So keep a close watch on your actions, your behaviors, and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will do what? You will save both yourself and your hearers. Like, there is something very significant that I have found, like something priceless that I have found in always wanting to share the gospel everywhere I go. I want to an opportunity to help them see Jesus everywhere I go, because if this is my mission, if this is what I'm trying to do through my day, guess what I am watching very closely? My doctrine, my actions, my attitude, because I know why would they ever listen to me when I talk to them about Jesus if I'm always that guy that is acting completely anti-Jesus in everything that I do. Like, it builds this integrity in me that is like nothing else. And there's something super important for us to understand that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, watch your conduct among the Gentiles honorably, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So when we live with integrity, even though we will have skeptics, they will begin to think there must be something to what he is saying. And this is one of the things that Paul's life had so many ups and downs, but he was always sharing the gospel everywhere he went, but he was also living the gospel everywhere he went. His life had to align with the things that he was sharing about Jesus. And if we will make it, this is my mission for this year, is to be somebody who's wanting to proclaim the gospel, is wanting to speak into people's life about Jesus, we will begin to start looking at and making sure that our life aligns with the things that we're wanting to share. And so there's great benefit to that. Here's the second thing that Paul says if we want to have focus coming into this year, and that is to focus on strengthening believers. So we focus on proclaiming the gospel, but we also focus on, you know, strengthening believers around us. Paul goes in from Thessalonica and Athens. He goes into Corinth, and he meets, like this is the hub of commercial enterprise. Like when you go to Corinth, that's where everything's coming and going. And if you can imagine, if that's the hub and that's the focus, then you have all kinds of immoral behaviors. I couldn't help but, you know, with all the things that went on with New Orleans, to think that that's kind of what I'm talking about here, is you just don't know what's around the corner and what's being offered. But there's a lot of immorality. There's a lot of just, you know, living for desires and things that, and that's where Paul just entered into. He just came out of the hub of philosophers, and if you can imagine what that is, just all this religious stuff, yet leaving God kind of out of it, and then he steps into this other world, and he finds this hub of just, you know, bustling commercial enterprise. And so there's not a lot of people in the corners, you know, on the street corners that want to have a conversation with him about Jesus. And so that can be kind of discouraging, but he runs into a couple people there. Do you remember? Priscilla and Aquila. And he was pretty excited about this. In fact, I'm kind of excited that he got this opportunity. They had some things in common. They were tent makers, you know, that they did for their side job, but they also were lovers of Jesus. And so they were able to strengthen each other and encourage each other as they were sharing. Because if you really want to share the gospel with other people, you're going to feel kind of lonely, don't you think? Because not a lot of people are doing it. But if you find somebody else that has the same mindset and the same intensity, and you can feed off of each other and give each other encouragement and you know, participation in that. And so that's what Paul ends up finding, because when he is discouraged and overwhelmed, we find there in 18 verse 9 that God reassured Paul in a vision. He says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in the city who are my people.'" And I think that that would have been encouraging, right? Because anytime you ever feel like you're running the race by yourself, you need somebody that you know is out there running also. And the first thing you, when you find that like somebody else is trying to do what you're trying to do, you would love to connect with them. Because there's just something strengthening about that camaraderie, that walking the same journey and trying to accomplish the same thing. And so Paul ends up spending 18 months here, a year and a half. He spends here. And he is greatly, he's strengthened in the church, but he is also being strengthened. And there's just this relationship that he finds there that is super helpful. And we all need help and encouragement to stay focused. Like if you're going to go into the new year, and you are determined that you're going to stay focused on the spiritual things that God wants you to be on, and you're going to, you know, move forward in that, then having somebody that would do that with you would be of great value for you. And I just not too long ago, I mean, I've, for years, and I talk about this a lot because I'm such a failure at it, you know, I'll have like a month or so, I'll get up here and say, "Man, I feel so good. I am working out," and I let y'all know. And Lori says, "Please don't talk about this stuff anymore," because she knows that it's like, it's going to last a couple months, and then I will be right back to eating everything under the sun and never getting off the couch and all of this stuff. And here for a while, we're on, I think, week 17. So Dub retired, and when Dub retired, he had this mentality that I want to get in shape. Now, Dub's been walking, but he wanted to go to a different level. And so he had this conversation with me, like, "Man, I want to do that too." And so we started working out up here in this little room, and we started doing this, and it was encouraging because there was something about it, like, when I had somebody I had to show up for, I showed up, and when he had somebody to show up for, he had to show up. Like, there was something that was generating about that. And little by little, then the next D come along, so that's Dub, and then Devin comes along, so we had to move out of our little cubicle thing up there, and we moved back here in this back room, and we begin the three of us now. doing this, and that even anticipated it more. Dub and I go on these walks, and he's like, man, I'm so glad Devin is part of us. It's so much fun. You know, he's so funny. And I guess I wasn't, so he was glad to get somebody, you know, new in there. And then Donnie shows up, so now we got the three Ds, Donnie, Devin, and Dub. You know, there ought to be a song. I can't create it, but maybe Matthew could. But anyway, I just had something run through my head. I'll shut that off. But so there's something that was created and strengthened in me when we had this. Now we're playing pickleball, right? Some of you are getting jealous out there, I know. Like, I want to be part. I don't have a D in my name, but I want to be part of this. And that would be awesome if you did. Like, it is open to anybody and everybody if you can work it around your schedule. But the point, though, is that in that setting, for that purpose, in that journey, there's something encouraging that we've created, somewhat accidental, that needs to be transferred over to our conversation in a spiritual way. Like, there is something that we need from each other in order for us to stay focused on our spiritual journey and stay focused on what God has called us into. That's one of the reasons we have the church, by the way, is to put all these people together heading in the same direction, all from all kinds of walks of life, doing all kinds of things, but what they have in common is they're all trying to get to the same destination, and I put them together so that they can encourage one another, inspire one another. But you can take it to a deeper level, I think. You can have the Priscillas and Aquilas in your life, even though you have a lot of believers out there. And Paul found a place that he really was ministered to, as well as him ministering. He was ministering to them as well as they were ministering to him. And there's something strengthening about that. I think that's why he spent 18 months there. Now, he had to move on because God has something in store for him, but there is something. And just before we leave here, the Hebrew writer talks a lot about this. He says, spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encourage one another as you see the day approaching. That's in Hebrews chapter 10. There's something super significant about this. And so I want to just ask you before we do move on to the next thing here that Paul has for us, and that is, what is it that you're really wanting to accomplish in 2025 when it comes to staying focused on God and having this steadfastness in your life and moving in your journey? Like, in, specifically, like, for instance, we got a lot of young moms, and maybe it is, you know, my focus is to just homeschool my kids. I don't know what it is. Then find somebody else that has the exact same journey mindset, not only with homeschooling kids, but also the destination in mind is following Jesus. Because it will make a big difference in you being able to accomplish this. And so all I'm saying is that think about specifically what it is that you're wanting to accomplish. I think the connect groups are really good because it helps with this a little bit. But I'm just saying that there are some things that not only for you to do that for yourself, but to realize that there's other people out there that need you as much as you need them. Are you seeing that? And then there's something really significant that gets created there. So here's another thing that Paul, and the last thing that Paul I want to point out. So he wants us to focus, or what he focused on rather, is on proclaiming the gospel and making sure, you know, that he kept that at the forefront of his mind, but also, you know, how did I get lost here? Also, just making sure that we stay focused on, you know, building relationships and building believers. But the last thing he says here is he says, focus on persevering through trials. And this actually could have been spoken of about in every chapter that Paul, we read of this past week about Paul, but I kind of just wanted to highlight it here in Acts chapter 20, if you just kind of look through that. We're not reading through all this because there's a lot of scripture to try to read through, but in Acts 20, he is really, he meets with these Ephesian elders, and Miletus. And he's really kind of overwhelmed in his spirit, because his spirit just knows what is coming. And it's because the Holy Spirit is kind of conveying what is coming. Like, he knows there's hardships even greater than what he just left behind him that are still coming into his future. And I think that he was just feeling just a lot of emotional stuff when he was doing his farewell here, you know, about just keeping focused on the mission of God. And Paul had this determination, though, about him, right? This resolute that even though he knew that there was tough things coming, he wasn't going to let anybody speak him into staying put where he was or to run away from it. It kind of reminds me of when Jesus and Peter have their little thing, and Peter's trying to talk Jesus out of, no, you can't go, you know, be killed or anything like that. And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have the mind of the things of God. You know, like, nothing was going to derail Jesus from moving forward. And I feel like that same kind of spirit is here with Paul. Even though Paul senses that there is not good days coming, he was not going to be derailed from them. He was going to be resolute in them. And in Acts 20:24, remember, this is where we started. This is where Paul declares, But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's determination here is just really worth having a conversation about, and really making sure that we sense it and see it. Like, he was not going to let anything stop him. And the Christian life is not free of trials. It seems like we have trial after trial after trial that we have to go through. It's not uncommon every week there's a new one added to the list of Westside's family, of something to go through. And I just think that there's something that we have to glean about what Paul is trying to convey here. What does God have you journeying through right now? Like, what is it that you've been praying that you could let go of and leave behind and get over, and it's just followed you into 2025? You would have loved for that to stay back there, but it didn't. What is it that you are really having to face with this resolute attitude? I've just got to face this head on. I just got to do this. Some chronic illness of some sort, a loss of a family member, you know, just some kind of personal tragedy that followed you into 2025, not because you welcomed it. Let me tell you what I think God is saying through Paul to you about that. Persevere. You can do it. Just as Paul did it, you can do it. Just as Daniel did it, you can do it. Just as Jeremiah did it, you can do it. So just face it head on. Anybody here bring into 2025 depression, anxiety, feelings of isolation, that you're all alone? Don't you know that Paul had some of those kinds of issues himself? And I believe that God is saying through Paul is never give up. Just be determined that you're going to see this through no matter what. I don't know. You know, struggling with self-worth, struggling with purpose. I believe God is saying through Paul, stay focused. Stay focused on the prize. Keep fighting the fight. Don't let it keep you from where God wants to take you. Don't throw in the towel. You see, Paul's determination to finish the race reminds us that we have the ability to persevere. We have everything that Paul had, we have at our fingertips, and that is God. He completely was dependent upon God to get him through this. After Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, when we got to Acts 23. He faced this like mounting opposition. Like it started off pretty tough in 17, you know, the mob and people wanting to attack him. And it just kept building, you know, every time he went somewhere, it just seemed like he had something new to do. But there was a building of things. Like, starts off rough, but it can get rougher. Or maybe we should go this way, I don't know. But he finds himself arrested, and Jesus appeared to Paul with a powerful message there in chapter 23, verse 11. He says, "The following night the Lord stood by him, and he said, 'Take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also into Jerusalem.'" I mean, into Rome. So take courage. This isn't where your battle is going to end. Now, it doesn't mean that what Jesus is saying, take courage because all this will go away and you won't have any more struggles. That's not what Jesus is saying. Because we all know where Paul ends. His journey does end, like in Rome. His journey does end in not an easy path. But there was something encouraging about this, and what was it? Take courage, because I'm still in charge. I'm still in control. They are not going to do anything without my approval. Like, you can count on me. You can put your trust in me. We are on a mission, and we're going to see it through, and I'm going to take you where I've always wanted to take you. And there's something great that's going to come as a result of this. Does that make sense? Like, if Paul thought that meant he's going to deliver me from all of my struggles and pain, then Paul would probably be disappointed by the time he got to Rome. But I don't think that's the way Paul interpreted it at all. I think Paul just took it as God is sovereign, and he's going to see me through. And I think that's the way we need to take it as well. When we go through our trials, we can persevere because we have the same God who is still on the throne of our lives, still in charge, still the one who doesn't let anything happen that he doesn't want to happen. And so we can trust him, and we can trust where he's leading us and our destination. Here is something that we learned in 2024 that is super awesome. And that is that we participate along with this God. And you saw every page almost that you turned, and we've read a lot now. 2 years of reading, we've read a lot. But in just the readings of this last year, we learned over and over and over that God wants to participate with his people. And he does. Like, there's a partnership that God has with us. He shows up with Abraham. Of course, this was a long time ago. And he offers Abraham a partnership. Abraham, I'll make a covenant with you. I'll do this if you do this. And he is faithful all the way and still being faithful through our readings, even through all of those many years. And everybody comes along. David, I'll partner with you, David. Let's make this covenant. And what you and I know is that when we were baptized into Jesus, we entered into a partnership with God. And what that means is that we bring what we can bring to the table, and he brings what he can bring to the table, and then we figure out what we can do to, you know, to handle our circumstance or our situation. In other words, God does not need your muscles because you are as weak as anything. He doesn't need your intellect because you're not very smart. I mean, you're smarter than me, but you're not very smart. He doesn't need really anything from you to accomplish great things with you, but yet he needs everything from you because that's what partnerships are. Like, when you're partnering with God, he expects everybody in here that he partnered with, he expects them to give everything that they have to the relationship or to the partnership, even though he didn't need any of it. And he would give everything that he had to the partnership, and then he accomplished amazing things. We were just talking about Gideon in Sunday school, and it just made me think about this, because Gideon, he says, when God shows up to partner with Gideon, he's like, well, I don't have anything. I'm the least of the clan and least of the family of the clan kind of thing. And God's like, well, that's all I need. Just need you. Just need all of you, and then I'll do the rest. And Gideon's like, okay, I can give you that. And he did some amazing things when Gideon was complying in that partnership. It's the same way with us. Isn't that what we learn, church? That what God wants from us is everything, being all in, because he needs us to be all in, or he won't do anything. But he does it in his timing, because his timing is more perfect than our timing. But as long as we are determined to continue to press forward, regardless of what's going on, and we partner with God and bring him everything, I guarantee he will have a plan that will blow your socks away, just like Paul. Even through all of the stuff Paul had to go through, he still was able to see the plan, and he rejoiced in it all the time. He would write things like, it is a pleasure to suffer with Christ. He would write things about, it would be better for me to live and to go be with him now, but I'll stay here to do this mission because God's got me on, doing this for other people. Like, he already saw into what was coming because he was all in and fully invested. And that's what God wants from us as well. And so, as we close, we have a new year. And I believe that the best way that we could possibly embrace this new year is to recalibrate, refocus, and to begin right away applying these three things that Paul taught us. Share the gospel, because by focusing on the gospel, not only will you save your hearers, but you will save yourself as well. It will build integrity in your life like nothing else. Focus on investing in others, making sure that you're helping somebody else on their journey, because when you're helping somebody else accomplish their journey, guess what it's doing for you? You're accomplishing yours. Like, there is something that we get by investing in each other, believers. And make sure that you persevere through your trials. Be determined that nothing's going to stop you. Bring everything to the table and see if God doesn't bring all that he has to the table as well. And he'll see you through. And 2025 could be the year that we start putting all these pieces together and we begin to really see what God has in store for us and what we're really working towards. And it could be a year of focus and purpose like nothing else. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we have the opportunity to enter a year like this, a year that is focused upon you, that has purpose, that is beyond anything that this world would try to offer us. And so, Father, I just want to take a moment here that I just want to ask that you would help us make this a little more concrete in our approach, in our thinking. That we begin to just collect all the things around us that we bring to the table, which isn't much, but just realizing that holding back is only rejecting your offer or holding you back. Because you are all in if we're all in. And if we're not, you withhold your blessings from us. I believe that's just spoken throughout your word in almost every situation and relationship. We see it with the Israelites over and over and over, how you withhold yourself from them just because they are not giving themselves fully to you. And so, Father, I want 2025 to be a great year for Westside and for our family. So I pray, Father, that you would just help us to see what an opportunity we have here today to see this next year as kind of a clean slate. Help us be that one third that actually, Lord, makes a decision to offer ourselves to you and to keep our word, to keep our vow. Help us not blow away this opportunity, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to step into our communion time. And there